to the new people and to the return listeners once again to the Pride of Detroit podcast, PODcast. It is the Pride of Detroit podcast. This is what POD stands for. PrideofDetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter. SB Nation, we are affiliated. And this is here to talk about the Detroit Lions, your Lions of Detroit, the Roar, One Pride, whatever the hell you call it. We're here. It's the middle of April. It's April in the D. It is April in the D, which means we are on the road to the NFL draft experience presented by Oikos 000, apparently. We signed up for all of our material to get into the draft at the end of the month here. The entire Pride of Detroit staff, except for pretty much our fearless leader, is going to be in Philadelphia. And we will have fun there. We will try not to get killed by angry Eagles fans. Ryan Matthews back is the motherfucking rock guy. Has already vowed not to antagonize Eagles fans by deciding he will not bring a sign that says hashtag we own the Eagles.
Let's see what happens after I get a few beers and a couple cheesesteaks in me.
Get a few Yinglings in you.
Oh, if I'm ordering Yinglings by the caseload. If we come into Philly and they are readily available. But the one thing I did notice while you were doing your little introduction is you said we're on the road to, and Jeremy's face got very large.
No, WrestleMania is over, Jeremy. Don't worry.
We are on the road to WrestleMania, too.
I didn't say it was Chris.
Have we looked into whether Philadelphia has El Presidente yet?
Oh, man.
Not sure.
Now your face lit up over there, Ryan.
Right, let's get introductions around here. I'm Chris Lemieux, at Adequate Host on Twitter, on the verge of maybe changing my nickname again because I have no life.
And you're not an adequate host
anymore. Yeah, I'm no longer adequate. I'm starting to rise in the ranks, apparently, according to our reviewers. Ryan Matthews, at Ryan_POD. Alex Reno, back again, finally being a little steady with us, at Alex_Reno. And Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader, at Detroit on Lion.
Got it.
We're back. We're here. Here we are.
The whole crew's back.
Ryan's back. We missed
Ryan's
you.
Ryan's back. Starting a new streak today.
I am. I'm going to set that in my new handy dandy app that keeps track of the last time since something happened. The only other thing that I have listed is the last time I saw the name Cole Wick mentioned.
Yikes.
Yeah, I've gone 12 days since I've seen Cole Wick's name.
Alex Reno is here. He somehow came back. He wanted to fight me after my rage corner, but I'm not going to give him the luxury.
Whatever. I mean, nobody agreed with you anyway, so you kind of took the L.
Yeah,
on
I
that.
Know. This town doesn't deserve to have a Super Bowl. Let's talk. Not a lot of Lions news, except the impending. So this is coming out on the 11th. When's the jersey ceremony, Jeremy? It's the
Thursday.
It's Thursday, so in a couple of days, the Detroit Lions will have new jerseys, and we are all very, very excited.
I couldn't be any more excited. I think, Chris, where your lack of excitement kind of stems from is they haven't leaked anything about a new Salute to Service jersey.
Do we have to explain this?
If they could put it in like a different shade of green, or maybe put like a Desert Storm edition.
No, there needs to be a different camo. There's like, okay, on the one I have, there's like a camo design on the 9 for Stafford. Ooh. I need a slightly.
Maybe they could
camo.
Do like the other three branches of the military for you or something.
There you go.
You could have like a
there
collection
go.
Going.
I want a navy like, you know, old sailor with like little knot tie. I want that design on a jersey. Let's just go full minor league on this shit.
And it'll be a Zach Zenner jersey.
Yes.
Because the
they know a lot about nautical warfare in South Dakota.
Something that's interesting about Zach Zenner real quick is if you go to his wiki, if you go to the, I believe it's the 2015 NFL draft wiki page, you'll see the list of undrafted free agents, and one of them is Zach Zenner, and his notable thing is that he was the starting running back for the Detroit Lions at the end of the 2016 season and playoffs.
Oh,
and that
God,
is
that's
etched,
dark.
That is
dark.
Etched in stone. I donated $5 to Wikipedia today for that. Don't at me for receipts.
Do you guys have any predictions or anything specific about the jerseys that you're excited about?
I don't think we're going to go that far off the beaten path, to be honest. It's going to have white aways. It's going to be, I mean, people keep thinking they're going to mess with the Honolulu Blue. I don't see that happening.
No, they went out and said they weren't going to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Essentially.
So they're doing is like making new home and away jerseys, right? They're not doing any alternates or anything.
There's four new jerseys.
There's going to be a color rush.
Okay.
There's a color rush and then probably a throwback. Yeah.
But one thing that they've said is that they're not doing any black. Isn't that what I've heard?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Black's gone completely from the entire script.
And I guess the rumor based on the semi-leak that they had last week is that the color rush is going to be silver. That's at least what people got from those negatives or whatever they were. Which, I mean, they could look interesting, but I think in general I'm not going to like them.
It's the color rush. Who gives a shit about the color rush?
If it's silver and blue lettering and stuff, I think it would look okay.
When the fuck are they going to wear the color rush? Because the only Thursday game is going to be a Thanksgiving game, and that's when you wear the throwbacks.
That's a good point.
Maybe they're doing it differently this year. I don't know.
Yeah, that's definitely one thing I'm going to be looking forward to in this press conference on Thursday is whether they're actually going to be wearing those jerseys.
Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of teams that wear their throwbacks on days other than, you know, the Lions had previously where they only do it on Thanksgiving. So maybe they are going in a new direction because I do like the look of, I mean, and I'm assuming, but that picture that leaked, I think Stafford's wearing the throwback jersey, it looks like. Because the other two jerseys clearly have the Lions, the name on the shoulder pads on the sides. Yeah. I'm assuming those are the two, home and away jerseys.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of, the all blue, Honolulu blue kind of throwback things. So.
I'm not a fan of them putting Lions on the side of the jerseys, though. Like, we don't already know the team name, and we need it to be on the front and on the sides.
It's not about the name on the back. It's about the name on the sides.
Jesus. Wow. I mean, I guess my only big thing is, I would still love a Portsmouth Spartans throwback at some point. Go, really whole hog back to,
Nah.
I think that's always better in theory than in practice, because we saw, maybe, when the Packers and the Eagles tried to do that with those ugly-ass jerseys.
God, what's worse, the Packers or the Steelers jail uniforms?
I had this.
I think we did talk about this
way back.
Those Steelers uniforms just remind me of that game 4 years ago that was in the rain, and the Lions tried that 15-yard fake field goal that failed.
So, but we're not expecting anything world-breaking, which is fine. I mean, we already know there's a new text. Do you guys expect them to fuck with the numbers that much?
I think they would have to. If they're going to mess around with the text, I'm assuming that they're going to change the numbers in some fashion.
I'm also, maybe it's already too late in the game, but I know for a fact that they know that there was a big backlash to the font. I'm wondering if maybe they switch it up a little bit.
Hold on, how big was the backlash? And I feel like that's stemming from some...
Seriously, Jeremy.
Strictly Jeremy Reisman micro something.
I'm just saying, when I was at the event in Fort Field, I heard a couple of people in the Lions organization talking about the backlash.
Rabble.
Jeremy dropping the siren.
Jesus Christ.
I talked to some Lions brass.
Hey, you're going to get the chance on Thursday, buddy.
Yeah, Ryan Matthews. Okay, big news. Ryan Matthews will be our jersey in and fantasy insider on Thursday. He will bring reports back to the podcast and to PrideDetroit.com about the fantasy implications of the new jerseys that the Lions will be wearing.
But this is an event for season ticket holders. So if any of you guys are season ticket holders, please go find Ryan Matthews. He'll be the one, I don't know, doing something. Maybe recording with his phone.
He'll be probably rating the Ford Field spread if there is one there.
Yes.
I'll be irate that there is no pizza coney.
Hold it. Hold that for later.
Hold the thought. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I'll bite my tongue.
What else do we have in the news today? So we are witnessing the end of the Joe Louis Arena. The last game for the Red Wings was on, this is a little bit of non-Lions news, but it's Detroit. We talk Detroit. Last game for Joe Louis Arena was over the weekend, and tonight, Monday, April 10th, I believe, suddenly it's the last night of the Palace Auburn Hills. I didn't realize this was already the final game. It's gotten a lot less fanfare than the Joe closing.
None of us really did. Did you know that, Ryan?
I did, because I got a text alert that said, hey, Pistons are playing Washington on Monday, and you can buy sweet tickets for $50 a piece. I'm like, man, that playoff run just didn't happen, did it?
Nope. I do like these shirts that Fox Sports Detroit's giving out. It's got the old Pistons logo and then the name of every Piston that ever played in the Palace.
So that means that Zeljko Rabracha's name is on it, and I kind of want one of those shirts now.
And Milicic Darko.
No, I don't want it at all.
I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts of the Joe? I mean, obviously the Joe is much more iconic than the Palace.
I guess.
What do you
did
mean?
Did anyone
you
here
guess?
Actually watch the game? Because I did.
I saw
watched
the end of it.
Very, very end.
I just know that Riley Sheehan saved himself from apparently going into some very bad history by finally scoring a goal.
So it was obviously the last game at home, but it was like the 80th game of the season, I think it was.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And it was actually kind of a beauty of a goal, too. It's not like it was a fluke goal or anything, so.
Sweet. Well, maybe he should do it more than once.
Well, he did it twice.
Okay.
Well, it'd be nice if the team was better, sure.
He scored twice in that game, including the last goal ever scored at Joe Louis Arena.
But I mean, I think you're right, though. There is a lot more history. Like, I'm sure there's been a lot of great concerts at the Palace of Auburn Hills, but, like, there's been a ton of sporting events at the Joe Louis.
And
what?
What differentiates the Palace? Like, what? Like, I think of the Joe and I think of, like, the big hockey town at Center Ice. I think about the steps. Like, everything about it seems iconic. And then I think about the Palace, and there's nothing really that sticks out to me about it.
Well, I think most of that has to do with wrestling being at the Joe, mostly, I would say.
No, to me, it's that Nancy Kerrigan got kneecapped at the Joe.
Okay.
I get what you're saying, though, Jeremy.
There's a lot more history at the Joe, for sure.
It was like one of the last venues downtown, too, right? Before all these other places started moving downtown, it was the old Tiger Stadium, and it was Joe Louis Arena. And everyone else had fled out to the suburbs. They had the Pontiac Silverdome, and then later on, which, like, the Pistons played in before the Palace was built. So, like, those were the kind of the two downtown ones. And the Tiger Stadium got demolished, like, what, now 15 years ago?
Yeah, a little bit longer than that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the Joe remained the iconic one downtown. It was the identity of Detroit. It was on the waterfront. It cut for some nice pictures from the waterfront. And then, yeah, there's been more events held out there because, I mean, the Palace really isn't that old. Like, the Palace was only built in, like, what, the 80s?
Yeah, like, late 80s. I think it was 88.
Yeah, so it does.
87 or 88.
Yeah, it just doesn't have the history that the Joe does.
I mean, it doesn't have the history, but they were also clearly just built in two different eras, even though I think the Joe was built in the late 70s, right?
Was it that late? I thought it was. That actually sounds about right. It took over for the Olympia in, like, the 70s, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it was also home for that dynasty, too.
Yeah, and that helps too. But I mean, there was an awful lot of bad hockey that was played there too. I'm thinking more just like from an architecture standpoint, kind of like how Jeremy was talking about, like the steps that lead up to it, and then even that, you know, the way that the actual arena and the seating was all kind of mapped out, it made you feel like you were kind of like always on top of the action, no matter where you were.
Sure.
In terms of the sight lines and everything, so.
I mean, it was in a good part of Detroit, too. Again, right on the waterfront, right next to Cobo. You could get to it by the People Mover.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of integrated into Detroit in a way that the Palace and the Silver Dome just weren't.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. With the Joe on its way out and Little Caesars Arena coming in, what's your favorite stadium or arena?
I was just thinking about this the other day because I still really miss old Tiger Stadium. I miss being in those outfield seats, I mean, in the canopied seats and just waiting for that thing to shake when people got loud. Because that stadium could come apart any second, and that was kind of the thrill of it.
I don't actually have a memory of being at Tiger Stadium, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of way too out young. Of memory, yeah.
I was born after Tiger Stadium was demolished.
Yeah, so no memories there.
I was born when the Tigers signed Pudge Rodriguez.
The exact moment.
I was 5 when Kenny Rogers was the best pitcher on the Tigers staff, and they blew their load to David Eckstein in the World Series. But I think my favorite, stadium is Comerica, because it definitely has like a lot of charm to it. Like, it has like some extra things that were done to it. I mean, I know Ilitch kind of went over budget and spent all that money on all the Tiger statues and everything. And it's really kind of just like weird in a way too, with like their green eyes that like light up.
Hold up, you think the Tiger statues are weirder than the fact that in the outfield there's just Ford, there's like Ford and Chevrolet vehicles just plopped right there on a concourse? That's weirder, like, to me.
That's commercialism at its finest, because you look to the if you're sitting behind home plate and you see the General Motors fountain, you like look to the left and there's all these like statues of great ball players.
I see that and I just see crash ship, but you know me.
And then in right field is the Pepsi porch.
Yeah. The Kendall Jenner porch. Well, you go to Ford Field and there's that giant bottle of Pepsi too.
They're turning that into like a video board though, I believe, this offseason.
A Pepsi bottle shaped video board.
It'll probably be Pepsi. It'll mostly be showing Pepsi ads.
You know what happened? Rod Wood got out in front of this ad that was coming out. made sure to ditch Pepsi as a sponsor.
That'd be great, actually. I think it has to be Comerica at this point, right? Like, I mean,
what would
obviously
you say is the worst?
I don't
really like Comerica. I'm kind of with you, Chris. I feel like it's a little commercialized. Like, it.
What?
It's got, I mean, they're all commercialized.
Who cares?
Now.
I don't know.
Look, man. Like, I'm just sad.
I don't want a merry-go-round in my fucking stadium. That's weird to me.
Listen, there's no fucking piss troughs anymore, okay? That's what I'm mad about.
Kids love the Tigers. Come on.
Dude, this just in. Jeremy hates kids. He hates kids having fun. He's like, why are there elephants?
Jeremy hates kids.
Okay, no, but I mean, I kind of like Comerica, though. I kind of like Comerica. It's in a good place, but I also really enjoy Ford Field. But I think if I have to go one or the other, it's kind of leaning Comerica, because some of the sight lines for Ford Field are kind of a little weird. Like, one of the big complaints about Ford Field has always been like there's like a ton of space between the seats and the field itself, and I think that's just kind of, even though I kind of like some of the stuff in Ford Field, but I don't know.
I think we can all agree that the Joe had to go, and it was easily the worst. I mean, the history's there, but it was just kind of a piece of crap when
But that's fine. I like crappy old places. Like, look, man, there's a reason why if your place is able to be crappy enough, you still get that history, though, because it's Wrigley and it's Fenway. Like, that's what you lose when Old Tiger Stadium got demolished. You lost all that history there. You just blew it all up. You blew it all to hell. God damn you all.
Do you know how many Wings games I've been to this year? Zero.
Two?
Because they're terrible. Because they're a terrible product. Obviously, everybody loved going to Wings games in the like late 90s and early 2000s because they were a good team. And like, you put up with the fact that like clearly I don't think they ever made any like major renovations in Joe Louis Arena. Like, I think those are the same seats that were there in the 70s. Those awful like red fake leather.
The only thing they ever changed was they built it without press boxes. They had to add them later.
Yep.
And the video board, because the video board used to be like, what, like 12 different TV screens?
Yeah. But listen, people went to Cubs games and Red Sox games all the time while they sucked, and they still enjoyed those old... But they did... I think you're right, though, Ryan. They did renovations to Fenway, and they did renovations to Wrigley.
But when's the last time that you went to a sporting event just to see the new venue? You did it... And even if you did, it would have been once, right? You never go back like, oh, just because this is a nice venue. You want to go because you want to watch the game. 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think going to the game, but it's also like... Like, people will go to Red Sox games just to see the historic stadium, right?
Right.
And that's, again, you lose a piece of that every time you upgrade these stadiums.
Yeah,
I agree.
From other, like, destinations that you're going to see it for the first time, I feel like, though.
For sure, but was anybody, like, is anybody, like, clamoring to, like, come check out Comerica Park? Like, probably not.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the draft. Continuing along here on the Pride of Detroit podcast, this is kind of actually, I don't know what we're going to do for this hour. It's kind of a place we usually find ourselves in during the off season. Alex, we got you on again. obviously not going to be as good about talking about the draft as Kent.
Fuck.
Wow.
Woo!
I mean, I was going to say that myself, but when somebody else says it, that's fucking personal, man.
No, we love Alex. Alex, like, I think the one position we haven't talked about yet in the draft, I mean, there's a lot of positions we haven't talked about. We've talked about the most obvious, but I think I saw today Andy Benoit. He writes for, is it Fox Sports Detroit, Jeremy?
No. He's either SI. Yeah, he's SI, I believe.
Oh, he's Sports Illustrated. Okay. But they were talking about, like, apparently there's now a pressing need for the Lions for wide receiver. I don't know if I really agree with that. What's the rationale behind that, Jeremy?
Well, there's a lot going on here. A lot of people are still kind of toting the idea that Marvin Jones and Golden Tate are two number twos and the Lions still need a number one. Or, you know, those two guys alone can't really carry the torch, I guess, is what some people are thinking. And then, of course, there's also still the Anquan Boldin thing. We're still kind of in a holding pattern there, and we will be until well after the draft, I think. So, for the Lions, I think with the Anquan Boldin thing specifically, they need to address a long-term solution there, because even if he does come back, it's probably only for one more year, so...
Well, I mean, how many more years is on Golden Tate's contract, too?
Yeah, he's probably only got a couple left. But he's still pretty young, so if the Lions want him around long-term, they can ink him to a long-term, you know, another extension. But it's interesting, because lately I've seen mock drafts kind of pick up some heat with wide receivers early in the draft, and that's something that I don't think a lot of Lions fans are considering until now. And, What do you guys think about that?
I was listening to the Ringers podcast that they do with Mike Lombardi, and he made a pretty good point about how a lot of evaluators kind of flub, I guess for lack of a better term, their evaluations of wide receivers just because they usually go off of production. So that's why you usually see so many wide receivers get mocked in the first round when it doesn't end up ever like happening that way. Like, wide receivers aren't usually taken in plethora in the first round, like many mock drafts will lead you to believe. Like, I mean, at the beginning of mock draft season, you had Mike Williams and Corey Davis seem like they were shoo-ins to be two top 15 picks. And now, you know, the Ringer's latest mock draft, they had Corey Davis falling all the way to 21 to the Lions. They have, you know, Mike Williams falling, you know, towards the middle to the later end of the first round. So, I'm not sure what to make of the wide receiver group this year. I mean, Alex has done a lot more film study than I have of the wide receivers, but I think where Benoit's tweet is kind of interesting is he said that the Lions' biggest draft priority should be a wide receiver. And he said the guys they have now are puzzle pieces, not building blocks. And then he went on to say, like, the Lions need a movable receiver who can influence coverages when aligned outside. Jones and Tate are quality players, but not that type of threat. So I don't know if this is more just like drumming up of like, oh, you know, they still really miss Calvin Johnson, and that was the reason why the team didn't succeed. I don't know if I buy that very much. I think that wide receiver is definitely like, it's something that should be addressed in the draft, because I don't want to put all my eggs in the Anquan Boldin basket if he's going to wait until training camp. Like, at this point last season, it was nice to get Marvin Jones, you know, in free agency, because that at least put another body that you could line up outside. And, you know, I think Alex and I both kind of agree, you know, Marvin Jones has some trouble like creating separation. And I think that's, you know, Alex made mention of that's maybe where Benoit's tweets are kind of stemming from, is that, you know, he didn't see like that kind of guy who could line up outside and influence coverages the way that Calvin would. You know, in Marvin Jones, obviously, because that's like comparing, you know, like an apple to a raisin. But I think that wide receiver is definitely at some point in the draft, the Lions need to take a wide receiver. And I would even argue that as early as the third round, I think I would be fine with taking a wide receiver.
Yeah. I mean, it totally depends on value. Like, we talk about, like, where we want this position, where we want the player and all that, but, like, it depends on, like, what, like, how the best player is graded at that round or whatever.
Let me pose a question to you, Alex. Sure. Would you be fine with the Lions taking Corey Davis at 21?
Corey Davis is a guy that I would definitely take at 21, yes. Corey Davis, I've kind of actually warmed up to Christian McCaffrey, not even as a runner, but like even as like a slot receiver, because he's a really good slot receiver and as a runner. Those are two guys that I would consider, probably more so Davis because he's like a top six player to me. And if he drops all the way to the 21st pick, I mean, that's kind of a steal to me. If I mean, like, that would mean to me that he is the first wide receiver taken in general, because I don't think he's going to go after Mike Williams either.
Man, the hump that I just can't get over is taking a skill position, because you just look at the team from last year, and I guess they lost some offensive power when Theo Riddick went down. That's true, but I don't know. You look at how much you can improve this team, and at offensive skill position seems like such a small raise as compared to anywhere else. Like, even if you have a talented guy like Corey Davis, you'd really have a tough time convincing me that he's the right pick for the Lions.
So, I mean, it obviously comes back to an argument of how, like, you know, Alex was alluding to, you know, where the value is at. And if you're the Lions and you're sitting there at 21 and you see all these linebackers take a run and they're all of a sudden gone, I mean, I've seen Hassan Reddick go in mock drafts as high as like the top 10.
Yeah,
and I've mean, seen I don't,
five. Yeah,
right.
The hype surrounding him is insane right now. I think there's like no chance that he's going to be there for the Lions, which is kind of sad, because I would absolutely love to have him here, but I don't think it's going to happen anymore.
And I think all of us would probably tend to agree that the Lions' biggest needs are on defense, and specifically probably along the defensive line and at linebacker. Like, those are the two biggest areas where the team could definitely stand to improve. But if there just isn't a guy there at the, you know, at 21 that you can justify, you know, I know Alex doesn't like the term, but like reaching to take Jared Davis or reaching to take, you know, maybe like Raekwon McMillan in the first round. Would you then be okay with like rationalizing it as taking a skill position, Jeremy? Like, would you be fine with taking Corey Davis, or if OJ Howard, you know, were to slip that far?
I mean, it's something that I think they're obviously going to have to plan for, right? Because one thing like we were talking about before is we have all these guys that we like Taco and Reuben Foster and Hassan. If those guys go early, then yeah, the linebacking options are pretty much gone in the first round. And then you have all these like tweener defensive ends who I think a lot of us agree would probably be better in a 3-4. So like I don't want to see them reach for one of those, not reach for one of those guys, but try to kind of push one of those guys into a 4-3 system rather than maybe, I mean, I'd still need some talking into. I think I'd probably rather go corner than skill position if that was the case, because corners pretty good at the top of the draft, and it is a deep position as well, but I don't know. It'd have to be a real bad situation if the Lions were going skill position.
So if I'm saying right now that the Lions picked Corey Davis, what would you grade that right now?
What would I grade it?
Incomplete.
C.
A C?
I don't give out grades. Yeah, I'd give it a C, because it doesn't seem like a smart pick to me. It just doesn't. Like, I don't... Talent, why?
I like Corey Davis a lot, and, like, if it's up to, like, I don't know, because I've seen David Njoku mock to the Lions a lot, which I would be very upset with that, and I would give that even lower than a C. But if it were Corey Davis, I might even give it an A. And I know we don't need a wide receiver in the first round. We're going to need a linebacker or an edge or a corner. But if he were to fall that far, I mean, this is a guy, like, I literally have him, I think he's sixth on my overall board, sorry. But this is exactly what Benoit was talking about. He's lined up all across the field for Western Michigan. He's a 6'3", 220-pound receiver, smooth route runner, creates separation. Like, I know Marvin Jones can't do that. Nasty double moves. That's a guy that I want at 21 if he falls there, which I mean, I don't think that's going to happen, obviously. But if that happens, that's a guy I might even pick over maybe one of the top corners.
I think a lot of what is going to affect the Lions draft position is what's going to happen with quarterback. Because I definitely see like mock drafts are all over the place. And I was listening to Daniel Jeremiah today, and he said that he spoke to one executive who said that Deshaun Watson's going to be a top 10 pick. And then he picked up the phone and spoke to another executive who said that he won't be taken in the first round at all. So, I mean, I think people are all over the place on that guy. And not only just him, but, you know, down the list of names with, you know, Trubisky, Deshaun Kaiser, Patrick Mahomes. Like, if any of these teams, like, end up either, like, moving up or those guys start going off the board, then I think you're going to see some of the defensive talent actually slip to the Lions. But, like, looking at Daniel Jeremiah's latest mock draft, like, Corey Davis was going number 12, John Ross was going number 13. But then he still has the Lions end up taking, you know, David Njoku and saying he kind of leans on like some kind of like tired and boring logic where he's like, you know, Bob Quinn, formerly of the Patriots, knows the benefit of having two athletic tight ends. Well, let's not just say that, you know, the Patriots had two athletic tight ends. Like Gronkowski was still a guy who could be an inline guy because he could block. Like Gronkowski is like the like tight end. Like he can do it all. He's an inline blocker. But he's also, you know, a transcendent receiver. If the Lions draft Njoku, who's that guy on the Lions roster? Like, are you going to trot out three tight ends? Are you going to trot out lineups with, you know, is drafting Njoku going to come at the expense of Eric Ebron? Because I don't think you would see Njoku and Ebron on the field together all that much because neither of them are very good pass blocking tight ends or even run blocking tight ends.
Another thing I keep seeing, too, is for the logic for the Lions drafting Njoku is that they're hearing rumblings about the Lions wanting to add another dynamic tight end or dynamic like tall receiver or something. But why does that have to be the first round pick? Why can't they add that player in the later rounds like George Kittle or something? Why do they keep mocking David Njoku in the first round when they already have Eric Ebron? That is what I don't understand.
I mean, I think we all kind of agree that it's a redundant type of pick for sure. So,
yeah. All right, let's leave that there and we'll continue on. We'll pick it up here.
We're not going to get to preseason or is that next segment?
Next segment. Listcast is back.
Preseason football.
Listcast is back. We're talking preseason. Coming up later in the show, we're also throwing down on a new disgusting creation of Detroit. It is a fusion that we must fight.
You say disgusting, but...
Shut up! Continuing along here on the Pride of Detroit PODcast, back at it, at always, at Pride of Detroit. Let's talk about the preseason.
Yes!
Woo!
Let's go! We got a schedule, guys! Come on!
Anyway, to put it as Deadspin puts it, the NFL needs to take a nap. No one gives a shit about the preseason schedule, except maybe some of you guys listening, and maybe you're mad that I just said no one gives a shit, but really, no one gives a shit about the NFL preseason, but we have to cover it anyway. Why? Because we have nothing else to talk about.
I'm into it. Rod Wood got his wish.
Yeah, he did.
What was his wish?
Let me say this. I'm a little nervous that the Lions renovations aren't going to get done on time for Ford Field because he asked the league to give him a 1 week buffer. So he didn't want to open the preseason at home just in case the renovations weren't done on time.
What are these renovations again?
Basically the entire club level is getting remodeled. They're going to have like lounges and new seating and like these common areas and then video boards, Wi-Fi.
Like upstairs bars and shit too. Yeah. Yeah. So just in case you don't know what it is, week one at Colts, week two versus Jets, week three versus Patriots, and then at Bills. So there you go, guys. That's your preseason schedule. Very exciting.
List cast.
Let's list cast. Yeah. All right, guys, I need everyone to rank these preseason games. 1 to 4, any order, any criteria. We're just fucking list casting it. Ryan, are you into this? You don't look like you're having
fun. Come on, guys, preseason football.
I don't have anything witty for this shit right now.
I'm just so excited that we're list casting. I don't even mind what it's about.
We need to do imaging for list cast.
We need a theme. please. We have such good fans for this show. They send us a bunch of Photoshop. I really, really want someone with musical talent to come in and make a Listcast theme.
I probably could, just like I made one for Rage Corner. I'm just too lazy right now. I've been very
busy. Sound like Monster Jam or something.
What if I take Ty Dillinger's theme music? Would Jeremy be okay with that?
I don't know who that is, which means it's probably a wrestler, and I'm not okay with it.
Guys,
he's the perfect 10, Jeremy.
Quit dancing around what is at hand right now. We are list casting.
Let's do it. Number four, who wants to start?
I'll start. I got my list. Number four, every single year is at Bills, because that is the absolute worst preseason game of all time, and traveling to Buffalo for it only makes it worse. Who wants to go to Buffalo?
Me.
Not this guy.
Let's do 3-4, then 1-2. Let's make it fat snappy. So Jeremy, who's 3?
Jets. I don't like the Jets. I don't like anything about the Jets. I don't care. It is the first time we're going to see like the renovation and stuff, but it's the Jets, so no one cares about that.
All right, I'll go next. My 4 is kind of like the same reason as Jeremy's for his number 4 is versus Jets, because the last preseason game I went to was against the Jets at home. For some reason, it's not like they're super close to us. I don't know why we have to play the Jets every year, but we do it anyway. So that's my number 4. Number 3, I mean, I guess it has to be the Bills for the same reason. I mean, why do we have to play the Bills every year?
That is the Carry Hyder special game, though.
I didn't know where to take that. Yes, I love Carry Hyder, and I love that he made his way onto the team because of how well he played against the Bills. But my number 4 is...
2 straight years.
My number 4 is the New York Jets, because 4 represents the number of quarterbacks that could potentially start for that team, because I have no idea who could end up starting for them. Number 3, I'm going to go with the Indianapolis Colts, just because I don't know why, but the number 3 makes me think of the Colts. So.
Real goddamn numerology hours here. I like it.
By the numbers.
By the numbers.
Numbers don't lie.
Numbers never lie.
That was trademarked, I think.
Yes, it was.
You're going to have to cut that out. Bleep it.
Nope.
We all have the same number 1, right?
No. The Jeremy right, Langford special has been loaded into the shotgun.
Chris, it's you.
Number 4 is the Jets. J-E-S-T. Just.
Just end the season.
Just end the season. Who gives a shit about the Jets?
Jets is also 4 letters long, so that's why it's number 4 too, right?
It's also the name of very good pizza, and I feel bad that pizza gets associated with this disgusting football team.
Let's get Jets!
Jets, why haven't you sponsored this podcast already?
You follow me, but you don't fucking respect where I work for. Give us that sponsorship.
Give it that sponsorship. We will shill out for the eight corners, the Eugene Supreme.
After I say what I say in my next segment, believe me, I'm in your corner. Because I'm going to trash one of your competitors in about 10 minutes.
Absolutely. Especially in their style, too.
Hey, the Jets boat. Number 3. The Jets boat is pretty good, too. Sorry. Let's go.
Yeah, number 3 is at Colts. Look, it's the first preseason to start the game, so everyone will be very excited, I'm sure. But I don't like the Colts. I don't like Jim Irsay. I don't like that whole fucking family. I don't like the city of Indianapolis. I like that. That's the worst part. It's in Indianapolis. Who the fuck wants to go to Indianapolis? The only people who want to go to Indianapolis are people who are in the Klan.
I think I think one of our listeners, Big Slick McDick, actually went to Indianapolis not too long ago.
He did.
So
he
explain
did.
Yourself, Chris.
He hated Indianapolis, from what I understand. So,
all right, who wants to do their 2-1?
Jeremy, it's your turn.
Number 2 is Colts, because that's going to be the game where the highest paid quarterback is going to play last year's highest paid quarterback.
For like 2 series.
Bold prediction.
For 2 series. And then, yeah, Patriots week 3, definitely going to be the number 1 game, because it's going to get overhyped and the Lions will probably beat the Patriots, who aren't giving a shit, and we're going to get all excited like we did in 2013. And I'll enjoy that week for what it is.
All right, my number 2, Indianapolis Colts. Matthew Stafford is better than Andrew Luck. Number 1, Patriots, Bob Quinn connection. Everybody's going to be talking that up. Who gives a shit? Preseason sucks. Next person.
Can we talk about the Andy? Hold on. I want to talk about Andrew Luck and Matt Stafford. I want to revisit that because I think that's fascinating.
Is it?
What's fascinating?
That we're now saying Matthew Stafford is going to be better than Andrew Luck.
Well, Andrew Luck's probably going to throw for like 5,400 yards next year because it's Andrew Luck. But I mean, what has he done actually?
If his ribs don't fucking shatter.
Oh yeah, he might actually. Yeah, he might not even play for four games this year. But
I mean, no one's saying that about Andrew Luck. No one's saying that he's injury prone or any of that shit. And how many full seasons has he played?
I want to know, why is Andrew Luck considered to be like a top five quarterback still? Like, what has he done?
Because I was just saying, because right out of the gate, he had success. The Colts had success with him there. Like, he went to the playoffs right away, won a playoff game, got all that out of the way. And now with the injury, like, if he had suffered the injury first, like Matthew Stafford, then maybe we'd be talking about him being injury prone like we did with Stafford. But since he right out of the gate took the league by storm, quote unquote.
Didn't he have a bad rookie year? Wasn't it his sophomore year that he had, like, success, though?
No, context matters, too, because he took the Colts that were 1-15 and made them relevant again. And he also went to the AFC Championship against the Patriots, like, a couple years ago, and he hasn't done anything since then, so.
Well, I think it's also the pedigree to him, right? He is the Harbaugh quarterback. He's the guy out of Stanford. He was hailed as, like, one of the best, you know, recruits, I mean, one of the best prospects coming out of that draft, and he's from the Jim Harbaugh line of Stanford, making Stanford great there and everything. And then, yeah, it's because it's the Colts, and he's taking up the mantle from Peyton Manning, so there's that already built mythology around Andrew Luck.
He gets so hyped up. Like, all I know is if I were to tweet right now that Matthew Stafford is better than Andrew Luck, I would get shit on so hard by all of, like, the Colts followers that follow me. And all of the NFL fans.
Greg Doyle from the Annapolis Star would probably quote tweet you.
Yeah, because everybody wants to fucking attack me when I say something on Twitter.
You're the only one. You somehow have like a hate magnet on
and
Twitter.
And I don't and mean great. To. Like, I will say Dan Dockich's name and it will fucking gravitate toward me on Twitter and I will get called out by everybody on the face of the universe.
For the record, Luck went 11-5 in each of his first three seasons. Okay. That's why. That's 100% why.
It's also the Colts and not the Lions, but whatever.
Ryan?
Yeah. My turn. Number two, the New England Patriots, because two represents the number of starting quarterbacks that won't even play in that game.
Christ.
And then number one, the Buffalo Bills. Why? Why the Buffalo Bills number one, you might ask? Because I love Kerry Hyder, and he had three tackles, and they were all for sacks. So,
but three
and the
one.
Year before that against the Bills, three fumble recoveries.
Dude, can you please let me finish?
Nope.
Three sacks. Number one on my list. They beat the Bills 31-0. 3-1. Warriors blew a 3-1 lead.
Jesus Christ, you son of a bitch. Two is the Patriots. Because, I mean, I even feel bad putting them up this high because I want to move them down to three because I will not be able to fucking tolerate the Bob Quinn chatter.
You're doing the Facebook Live after that game, by the way.
Jesus Christ. I understand it's the dress rehearsal game. That's kind of why it's up on two. But if this was any other week, it would be like my three or four.
Did you know that Bob Quinn used to be front office for the New England Patriots?
No, I didn't. I really didn't. You're blowing my fucking mind.
Did you know they really like to have two like quality tight ends on their team? Like one who's really good and the other one who's a murderer?
also, everyone will overhype this because this is the dress rehearsal game. And to be honest, like, again, the Patriots will, as Jeremy says there, the Patriots will not follow that plan. The Lions will beat the Patriots and everyone will start drinking the Kool-Aid early. New Honolulu Blue League Kool-Aid recipe coming this year.
How many yards do you think David Njoku is going to have for the Lions against the Patriots?
Shut the fuck up.
I'm blocking you on Twitter right now.
Number one is the Bills, because I will probably go back on the Numb Bills fan podcast, and we'll talk about Hard Rock and Buffalo and why apparently Bills fans were insane to want Jim Schwartz as their head coach.
There you go.
That's it.
List cast.
I might actually go up to Buffalo for that game. I don't know.
Hey, can I start over? Buffalo Bills number one because they do like RKOs and shit before games. Yeah, their fans are
fun.
Cool.
Their fans are fun. Like,
so there you go.
I've wanted to go to an actual Bills game at some point just because of that.
They put people through chairs to make life less painful in Buffalo.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah. I went to a Cleveland game and they told me that I was broke and said fuck Detroit, so that was cool.
Yeah, no, fuck Cleveland. Yeah, sorry, Ryan.
Fuck the Great Lakes Invitational or whatever we used to call our preseason games with them. I'm glad we're done with them.
That was the game where Joe Faurier had three touchdown catches that I went to.
Ryan's got the 1,000-yard stare because we're bagging on his AFC team.
Don't knock the Browns. Did you see their draft hats? They have that dog on the side of it.
Yeah, it's going to look really good on Leonard Fournette's head.
Shut the hell up.
Yeah, that could be your first article for Dogs by Nature, right?
As long as I'm the managing editor, because it'll become a wrestling site in like 3 months.
Mail time, as always, hashtag AskPOD. Send it to us at any point, although we most likely read them on Monday when we send the calls out. As always, before we get to the mailbag, Jeremy has to read our review.
We got one more review today from listener Honolulu True. His review is entitled, Why So Serious? I don't know what that's a reference to. Probably
nope,
something.
Never heard of it before.
Nah, whatever. Anyways. He writes, it's a 5-star review. Thank you. It reads, I look forward to this pod because I enjoy listening to people who love the Lions and yet don't implode in indignant rage whenever something doesn't go our way. Sure, it can be a bit random in the off season, but again, it's the off season. Calm down, people. So if you want some upbeat, on point, insightful, and yes, even optimistic Lions and sandwich muscle car wrestling coverage, this is the pod for you. Thanks, guys.
That was sweet. That was sweet. I feel like we have almost too many people now trying to defend us against. Do we still have that many haters out there who think we're not who hate us because we're not serious?
I guess those guys tend to drop off and never listen again.
Yeah, pretty much. They're not leaving the 1-star reviews and shit.
Please don't leave 1-star reviews. Leave more 5-star reviews for the 5-star adequate host general himself.
Salute to service. Let's get to the mailbag. Hashtag AskPOD. So this one isn't even from anyone in particular. It's just asked by enough people. It's asked by the staff. It's asked by people who aren't even on the POD cast. But what the hell is up with the Little Caesars Coney Island Pizza? If you haven't seen this yet, newest addition at Comerica Park for the Detroit Tigers. Little Caesars, the, you know, Illich run pizza chain of death, has revealed a Coney Island hot dog pizza with chili sauce, cheese, hot dog slices, and lines of mustard on their deep, deep dish pizza.
I mean, I can't really tell you what's up with it, but all I can tell you is that I'd get down with it.
Yeah, so who wouldn't want to try that is what I want to know.
The fuck is wrong with you guys?
I want to eat it just so that I can laugh and have it all fall out of my mouth as I see the tears from Team POE. You don't see any of these bastardized versions of wings ever show up.
Wait, hold on a second. This is not a pizza. I'm declaring it. This is not a pizza.
I agree with Jeremy.
Nope, it's a pizza.
It's not a pizza.
It's not a Coney dog. It's not on a hot dog bun.
It's not any of those things. It's an edible suicide note. It is disgusting.
You cannot. It's made by Little Caesars, and it's a pizza. They market it as a pizza. It looks like a pizza.
Is a breadstick a pizza, Ryan?
No, a breadstick is not a pizza.
That's from Little Caesars.
I have to rule it as a pizza because we've seen... Like, it doesn't have to be tomato sauce on a pizza.
No, it
can
doesn't.
Be chili sauce. Or you can have
barbecue.
Ranch sauce
barbecue, chicken,
or barbecue.
Pizza.
Or garlic olive oil. Like, pizza isn't limited to just tomato sauce.
Well,
Absolutely. This
doesn't even matter because I haven't heard a single person that has said that it is not good.
Our own Jerry Mallory.
Jerry Mallory was up at the Tigers today. Shout out to Jerry at Jerry Mallory NFL. He was the first of us to try this pizza. We've been trying to get up there. We just can't make it work. And now the Tigers are going on like a month long road trip. So I don't think we're going to be able to get to them until after the draft now. But I still think it looks disgusting.
By then, the FDA will declare it unedible. So you guys are going to miss out. I just like nothing about this seems like it's a good idea.
Just cheese and mustard together already is not a good combination.
Right, yes. The mustard is concerning. I don't like raw onions, so I don't like that there are onions on it. And deep dish pizza from Little Caesars already sits in the pit of your stomach like a ton of bricks. And you adding chili to that, like, you are just asking to have your entire day destroyed. And it probably won't even taste good.
I one time had their, like, what is it? Is it two slices or so? Either way, I had their like $5 lunch special.
Their lunch combo? Yeah, their lunch combo.
That deep dish lunch combo. And you're right, it does sit in your stomach pretty heavy.
Here's the
thing. Gotta try it once. That's all I'm saying.
I totally agree.
We're going to try it once.
No.
Here's the other thing, too. Here's the other thing, too, Cali boy. Okay?
This is the reason I'm not moving back. This pizza alone.
You said this pizza is just not even a pizza. It's like the food version of a like suicide note.
Yep.
What if when we all go to Comerica, I get on the Pride of Detroit Facebook page and start Facebook living me eating this thing? Is that a suicide note? Is that my letter of resignation to Pride of Detroit?
It's a call for help. That's for sure.
I'm glad that you recognize it as such. I'm glad you see the better in me.
Let's get to the rest of the mailbag, though. iLion asks, is the Coney dog pizza a hot dog or a sandwich?
Not a pizza.
It's neither.
It's neither. It's a pizza.
It's just what it is.
It's both.
What if you fold two pieces together? It's now a sandwich.
It's a hot dog sandwich pizza. If you fold it, does it become a sandwich?
It's a calzone, but I mean, if it's two pieces together, I mean, they're square pieces.
If you fold it, then you're reaching team sub territory with Chris Lemieux.
No,
right?
I'm not saying folding. I'm saying put two pieces together. Like,
oh, like take buy two pieces.
Put two pieces, put one on top of the other.
I've done that before with regular make it yourself Little Caesars pizza, and it's not a good idea. Let me tell you that for sure.
Did we talk about folding pizza on the podcast?
It's bad.
I don't remember. I think we did not. I think that was a Slack thing.
You're police if you fold pizza.
Yeah, don't fold your pizza, folks.
Don't fold your pizza. Smog's Gold Coin asks, is Detroit pizza the most underrated pizza in the USA? Which pizza is the most overrated in the country?
Glad Mike Payton isn't on the podcast because he would say Chicago Deep Dish is the most overrated and kind of like his True Romance being the best Detroit movie ever take. That would be wrong. A shit take.
Well, let me ask you something, because I know, okay, my sister's moved to D.C. She goes to George Washington University, and she, like, I even mentioned Detroit deep dish pizza to her, and she is unconvinced that this is actual style of pizza. She just thinks it's something that Detroit people made up on their own.
How is it not a style of pizza?
Well, that's clearly a style of pizza. I think there's some people across the country that think the only two types of styles of pizza are Brooklyn and Chicago. And there's a lot more than that, right? Like,
Tell them to go to Jets or Buddies and tell me that that's not a whole new style of pizza.
I think she would call it like Sicilian Square or something. Like, they wouldn't recognize it as a Detroit style.
Fuck those people.
I think awareness is down on Detroit style pizza, but wouldn't call it underrated.
I love Detroit.
I don't really
style.
Like it that much. I don't even like it that much, to be honest.
Really?
That's why you don't live here.
Cali boy.
Well, overrated, I would say definitely Brooklyn style. New York pizza is
all it is a giant slice of pizza.
Yeah, and it's usually greasy as fuck and like yeah, I'm sorry.
What's so Brooklyn special about just enlarging your slice of pizza? I don't understand it.
I like thin pizza, and I generally associate New York style pizza with being thinner.
Yeah. No. It's not as thin as California pizza.
Well, I mean, I'm not eating California pizza.
Have you guys ever had St. Louis pizza?
I've never had St. Louis pizza.
Yes, it is. It just when I got done saying awareness about Detroit style pizza, we're going to poo poo about St. Louis style. St. Louis is a thing. It's pretty thin, but it's like cut. It's like a round pizza that's cut into squares. And there's like a specific cheese to it, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, the thinner, the better for me. I like thin pizza.
Really?
Okay. I don't like the thin crust that a lot of places do. That they cut a circle pizza into squares. It's just like cracker pizza.
Okay,
so that stuff is gross. We've answered New York, Brooklyn as being overrated, but what's underrated then?
Chicago deep dish pizza.
Yeah.
Is it underrated though? I mean, I thought everybody loves Chicago pizza other than Mike Payton.
There's a lot of people who still poo-poo on it.
Well, it's good. It's easily the most polarizing pizza. Like the wood brick though. It has like the really chewy crust. Not necessarily CPK motherfuckers, but like a good wood brick.
Hold on, real quick. Do you know what's bringing awareness to Detroit style pizza?
Jets.
The Little Caesars Coney Dog pizza.
No, that's not a pizza.
Fucking abomination.
I thought we were supposed to cut a promo for Jets Pizza and hope that they sponsor us real quick.
Not with you idiots talking about how you want to eat this piece of shit pizza.
CB Russ asks, why no interest in Cutler so far? He is good for 3 wins and 2 memes every season.
Hey, if we drafted Tyus Bowser, does that mean he could capture some princesses with Jay Cutler, whoever, wherever he goes?
I think it's the butt picture. I think that really did him in.
Here's the interesting thing is that when Tony Romo announced that he wanted to play golf for the rest of his life instead of screw up his back even worse and take Phil Simms' job and lunch money, there was an article on CBS that came out immediately afterwards that's like, the Texans need to sign Jay Cutler. And I was like, I want nothing more than the Texans to sign Jay Cutler to be their starting quarterback. Because if you thought it was fun watching them lose to the Patriots in January, imagine if they played them again.
Poor Jeff Risden if that happens.
Poor Jeff. I feel no sympathy for Jeff Risden if he has to watch Jay Cutler football.
I mean, he writes for the goddamn Browns and the Texans, so if that were to happen... Because you know the Browns suck, right, Ryan?
I mean, the Browns are stuck. The Browns are fucking stuck with Brock Osweiler.
If I want to answer this question seriously for a second, I feel like he's kind of doing the veteran free agency thing where he's like, I'm over this whole, like, excitement at the beginning. Call me when OTAs are done, and then we'll work something out.
Dude, I think he's done. I think he's going to retire. I really do. I think he's going to retire.
I think he's done, too. His wife is stupid fucking rich.
So. I'm with Ryan. Back injuries are very serious. Like, I just don't see him coming back after this.
Yeah.
He's made a boatload of money. And the other thing, too, is he could be playing the whole veteran thing. Like, I want to wait till OTAs. Like, I'm Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of thing. But the Jets already signed Josh McCown. And I think if Jay Cutler goes anywhere, he wants to be the starting quarterback. And I'm not too sure of many teams out there that have a opening at starting quarterback. Like, who are those teams? Yeah.
Browns.
The Texans, the Browns.
I still think it's the Jets.
The 49ers. Are the 49ers going to literally sign all of the Bears quarterbacks? I don't think they'll do that to themselves.
That would be amazing, though.
All right, next question. This actually isn't a question, but we do have some feedback. Paulo H., we read his question about Brazilian food last week, and he says, sorry for the random Brazilian food question. I'm a Lions and POD big fan from Brazil. Just wanted to thank you guys for the show. You don't need to be apologizing for the question. I know we weren't really that knowledgeable about Brazilian food. I hope someday to try it.
Yeah.
But thank you for listening.
You ask us a question about food, you don't need to ever apologize.
Yeah, absolutely never apologize. Why would you ever apologize about asking about food? Like, I need to go try Brazilian food now because my only interaction with it was when I was like 3 sheets to the wind in Punta Cana and like just asking a man to like shave off more meat onto my plate while I was worried about my Golden State minus 11 pick.
Jesus. How much Christ. Did you lose on that again? Let's let everybody know.
I lost my Brazilian steakhouse meal.
And more.
No, I find it awesome that we got fans in Brazil. So thank you. Thank you for listening. And thank you for POD. All right. Let's go to a question from William Treese. What's worse, pissing next to a plump, sweaty guy at the trough in the Joe or listening to an entire Nickelback CD?
Okay. First of all, they got rid of the troughs at the Joe. They got rid of the troughs.
When?
They got rid of those a while ago.
Did they? Oh. Mm.
Yeah. So
they've got nice restrooms that you like walk up the stairs now, or they did, where you can walk up the stairs now.
I haven't pissed at the Joe in like 5 years.
Well, so I mean, even if we want to get in our Wayback Machine, is it worse to take a leak next to a sweaty guy in a trough at the Joe, or what was the second option?
Nickelback CD. I'm taking the sweaty guy. The sweaty guy takes, dude. The sweaty guy. That's 30 seconds and you're done. The Nickelback CD.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, how long do you have to take to listen to an entire Nickelback CD versus just taking a piss? I mean, it's not even close to me.
I mean, isn't a Nickelback CD essentially the auditory version of a pissing next to a fat guy?
Yeah, for an hour.
Yeah, and then multiply that by like 120.
Except he's pissing in your ears.
Here's the
Stop
thing.
Stop it.
Here's the thing. Every time I'm taking a leak, or when I was taking a leak at the Joe in one of those troughs, I thought, you know, every time I do it, makes me laugh. You know, how did our eyes get so red? And what is on this guy's head next to me? You know, but at the Joe, that's where I really grew up. You know, but the owner then, he didn't really fix up the stadium at all. We talked about how the renovations weren't really made at the Joe, but I never knew, you know, we ever went without. You know,
I thought for a second you were gonna say every time you take a piss, you listen to like Nickelback in your head or something, which would have been very concerning.
I think Jeremy caught on.
I knew something was going on right there.
No, I caught on, but I'm not going to fucking acknowledge that.
I threw away my Nickelback t-shirt. Can you bleep that out, Chris? Can you bleep that out?
No.
Please don't.
Germ Bob Cooter asks us, I was at the Joe Saturday night, saw several octopi being thrown onto the ice. What is your favorite sports traditions?
Ooh, very good question.
Yeah.
I really hate when you throw those octopi onto the ice, by the way. They really try to crack down on that shit.
I think they ended up throwing 31 of them in
really?
The last game. Yeah.
Didn't take very long. Like, it was right after the first intermission, but the first break and play they threw it.
Hold on. Over under when Little Caesars Arena opens up. 31 octopi onto the ice, more or less.
I'm going to take the under because I think that they're going to be really stingy about it.
I think their security is going to be improved too, and they're going to try to catch people with those octopi.
Yeah, I don't think that they want to bring that tradition from the Joe to the new
arena. They better. I'm sorry. I love that tradition. I don't know if it'd be my number one tradition, but it's definitely in the top three.
If they crack down on that, then I'm not trying the Coney pizza from Little Caesars.
This is going to be really weird. I'm going to catch a lot of flack for this, but one of my favorite sports traditions was during the going to work Pistons when they had like the flames and the work whistle go off when they did the introductions. I was a big sucker for that stuff.
I hated the flames because it made me jump every single time.
Are you including the Rasheed Wallace like circle thing that he did? Yeah. That thing.
This is an invisible medium. But yeah, that was great. The whole entrance. Yeah. Let's just say the entrance, because like with with Mason doing the player introductions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Detroit basketball? Come on, yeah.
Anything outside of Detroit? Let's see. Who else has to say their traditions? Because I've got a weird one, but go ahead, Alex. You got one?
Oh, I don't know. Shit. You go first. Jeremy?
I mean, there are a lot of cool ones in college that I don't really know explicitly. Like, there's that one where they do like the full walk around the stadium and then they run down
Clemson?
The hill. Is that Clemson? I thought that was
no,
Clemson.
No, they don't do a walk. They get onto buses and drive around the stadium. They get on
buses.
That's
pretty neat.
But then they touch the rock. Then they touch the rock and run down the hill. Yeah.
That's a cool one. I still don't know why they do it, because I feel like someone's going to tear an ACL one of these times and then they're never going to do it again. Yeah. But it seems like a pretty neat thing. I like it.
College has a lot of really easy ones. Every day, every year, Alabama has the running of the Gumps. I don't even know if I can even say anymore because the Toomer's Oaks are dead. That fucking asshole poisoned them. I was going to say Auburn rolling Toomer's Oaks was always really cool, but I'm trying to think of any other ones from college.
Michigan touching the banner, number one.
Yeah, whatever.
Gay!
My favorite, out of left field, I don't know if they do it anymore. But the Hanshin Tigers in Japan, in Osaka, used to have a tradition where they would try to find people that looked like the players after, like, the players on the team, and they would chuck those people in the Dotonbori Canal. Dotonbori Canal. They would call out the name of the player, and the person would jump into the canal. It was dangerous, it was gross, it was disgusting. But it also led to my favorite sports curse of all time, the curse of Colonel Sanders. Because Randy Bass was on their team when they finally won. Like, the Hanshin Tigers were like Japan's version of the Red Sox. They fucking sucked forever. And then finally in the 80s, they won with American-born player Randy Bass. And they couldn't find anyone who looked like Randy Bass. Had a huge handlebar mustache. Couldn't find anyone else who looked like him, except for a statue outside of KFC of Colonel Sanders. So they threw the statue of Colonel Sanders into the canal and subsequently lost them. And then afterwards, the Hanshin Tigers went back to sucking eternally, and fans believed that the ghost of Colonel Sanders had cursed their team for disrespecting his likeness.
That is way awesome.
Next question. N.E. Shaw, where does McDonald's Szechuan sauce fit on the restaurant condiment list cast? Is it ahead of KFC gravy?
Nobody knows what it
no
tastes
like. No, no. I want to know, though.
Isn't it? It's coming back, right?
It has to.
I've seen so many things that say that it's coming back, but I can't trust anything.
Yeah.
Jeremy was recently at a Dan Harmon podcast recording. You should have stood up in the middle of it and been an idiot.
A lot of people talk during those, but no, I wouldn't even be that guy.
So what would you guys say is your favorite fast food condiment, though? I'm not going to do a full list cast this week, but...
Arby's sauce.
I hate Arby's, but I love Arby's sauce.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's the only good thing about Arby's is their sauce.
And I don't even like horseradish, but horsey sauce isn't that bad
horsey
either.
Horsey sauce is good. I like horsey sauce. I'll use horsey sauce on the fries from Arby's.
I fucking pour the Arby's sauce, the horsey sauce, and the triple spicy sauce or whatever it's called all on my roast beef sandwich, and I don't give a fuck.
That's the only way it becomes palatable.
Actually, I gotta put it up here, since they brought it back, Taco Bell Diablo sauce.
They brought that back?
Yeah, you can get that.
I never had that. McDonald's sweet and sour sauce is kind of like a classic.
Yeah, that's good. I'm trying to remember who has a good honey mustard. I thought someplace had a good honey mustard, and I can't remember where.
Subway?
No.
Nothing is good about Subway.
I mean, if you're talking about just straight sauce, then maybe Subway, but...
There's sweet onion teriyaki sauce is pretty good.
Ooh, yeah. Chipotle Southwest from Subway?
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, Alex knows what I'm talking about. Yeah.
We didn't eat... We're going to talk about condiments from fast food restaurants and not even mention Chick-fil-A sauce.
Ooh.
I wouldn't even know.
Jeremy just shrugged because he's a Cali boy.
I'm surprised you didn't say McDonald's fries salt.
Jeremy, what's the best sauce at Jack in the Box?
I don't know, because I don't eat anything from that trash-ass place.
Liar.
Liar. John Whitaker asks, in honor of United's eventful day, what is your worst flying experience?
Can we elaborate on what happened with United?
Yeah, okay. So,
was it the leggings thing, or was that a separate airline?
What?
Was that the leggings situation?
No.
No, this was some doctor.
That was last week with the airlines. I'm not keeping up to date.
This was some doctor who was on a flight, and they overbooked the flight, and for some reason, they insisted this guy get off, and he didn't want to, so fucking Chicago PD just came in and beat the unholy hell out of this guy and forcefully dragged him off the plane.
I watched it! They dragged him, his face hit an armrest, and, like, he went limp. It was scary.
Horrifying.
I'll bring you that. And definitely horrifying, and I don't really understand why this guy was specifically chosen as the guy that has to leave. But it turned out he was a doctor, and he needed to be on that flight to meet some of his patients. And he eventually got back on the flight, but it was, like, delayed 2 hours.
Dude, there's, like, pictures of blood on the armrest. Like, just blood splattered everywhere.
Why did this happen again?
They overbooked. and they didn't have enough volunteers.
So they just fucking drag it. That's weird.
It's 2017. Yeah. How are you overbooking a flight? First of all, second of all, just to ease the minds of all of our listeners of the podcast, none of us will be flying United.
Nope.
To Philadelphia.
I'm flying Spirit, so I might die.
Okay, yeah. So Chris might be dead before we arrive in Philadelphia.
That would be my worst flying experience.
Is that really right there easing their minds when we're like talking about worse airlines?
I don't know. The only way Chris is going to end up dying is if he ends up wearing like, you know, 4 changes of clothing because he can't pack it all into his laptop case.
Oh, I'll pack it in there.
All right. I'm going to leave that one alone.
I think my worst experience was, I mean, it has to be if you ever lost your luggage, your checked luggage.
That almost happened on the way back from Arizona.
I've flown one time. I have no bad experiences.
I used to fly a lot, and like I only lost my bag one time, and I think it was with Delta, and it was the worst experience of my life.
What do they do when they lose your bag? Is it just like, oh well?
They shrug. They try to track it down, I guess, but it still takes you like a week before you get it back. And usually, if it's a checked bag, that's like, you know, half your wardrobe, so you really can't go a week without it. So,
probably like your laptop and shit,
and then you have to drive back to the airport and deal with airport people again before you can get your bag. So, and half the time they won't even know what you're talking about. It is when you lose a bag, it is worse than being in purgatory.
Speak from experience.
Yeah,
of being in purgatory.
I'd rather be pulled aside for an enhanced screening by TSA than lose my bag again.
T motherfucking S A.
The fuck was that?
I think it's TS motherfucking A, but
whatever.
Jesus Christ.
I appreciate the gusto.
Thank you.
Overwatch?
Yeah.
Last question here, you assholes. Trafalgar asks, who was the best Red Wings goalie and why?
Dominik Hasek. No, not even close.
Really?
Really? I mean, he wasn't a Red Wing for as long as some of the other guys, but he was fucking dominant.
I'm going to go with my man, Chris Osgood.
Mm-hmm.
For a few reasons. For one, he beat the ever-loving shit out of Patrick Waugh. So that gets
okay,
you a
bunch I think
of
you're
bonus
like
points.
Exaggerating just a little bit there. Like, he definitely won the fight, but I wouldn't say he beat the ever-loving shit out of him as much as I wanted him to.
Okay. Beyond that, he won 3 Stanley Cups. One when he was a backup to Vernon, and 2 when he was the starter. So
team sport.
Sorry. Sorry. Went on to play for the New York. Went on to play for the New York Islanders. Sorry. Came back. Took Dominik Hasek's job in 2008 when Hasek was shitting the bed.
People don't get old, I guess.
Well, not Chris Osgood.
Shut the.
Because he's eternal. Hey, there's somebody who's on Fox Sports Detroit calling the games. It's not Dominik Hasek.
It's because he speaks good English.
It's called a language barrier. But you know who was a better barrier between the pipes? Chris Osgood.
I think the best goalie I probably have, even though we said we would probably retire this.
John C.
Alex Reno.
Calling Alex Reno.
Hey Siri, look up Ben Roethlisberger.
All right, here's what I got.
Oh no, I want you to say Roethlisberger.
Here's what I got.
Hey Siri, say Ben Roethlisberger.
Here's Ben Roethlisberger.
Here's some information.
Fuck you.
Fuck you, Siri.
Who is the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
These are the quarterbacks for the Steelers.
You fucking asshole.
He fucking doesn't want to do it.